first thing would be the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This morning I got the results of a survey that was done. It might get the NSA off the hook. The survey said that they found the NSA is the only federal agency that actually listens to the people. Okay, approval of the agenda for today. Item 12, we're going to continue that because VCTC has not had an opportunity to vote on that yet. And I'm going to move board comment up to under staff reports so we can get that out. Do you have some changes, Mark? Come on.
Yeah, I've got a thought on the agenda, thank you.
Mark Joseph Phillips, a resident of Virginia City. Wow, this is December 3rd, 2013, Story County Commission meeting. This is discussion before the approval of today's agenda for December 3rd. Noticeably lacking on this agenda is an item that was continued to this day, and that would be the ordinance clarifying the jail fund. Y'all were clear about continuing the act till today, and wow, just continue it to another day and then forget to talk about it is disturbing to me. I don't get it. So when it comes to continuing items to another meeting, you all can do that, but you're supposed to put it on the agenda when you say.
Anything else? Okay. Motion to approve then?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, move for approval.
Second.
Move for approval. Okay.
Yeah, me too. All in favor. All right.
I thought you were putting your hand up to stop.
All righty. Made it up the hill okay, huh? All right. Consent agenda. Anything on the consent that anyone needs to comment on? All righty. Motion to approve that then.
Mr. Chairman, move to approve today's consent agenda.
Okay, second. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, also. And let me mention before I forget Commissioner Gilman and Mr. Hess are in Washington, D.C. All of this week, getting some really good work done for us back there. And okay, let's see, staff. Go through, Eric. You wanna hit staff under staff? You have anything additional under staff reports?
This would be the time. This would be the time, Eric, to talk about the library grant.
Yeah, you can do that also under staff.
Thank you, Commissioners and Manager Whitman. My name is Pam Abercrombie, Project Management Development Director for Community Chest. And I just wanted to briefly report on the success that we've had with the Community Foundation of Western Nevada matching grant for the library. The matching grant was $15,000, and we were inspired to raise $15,000 so that we would have a budget of $30,000 in addition to the previous monies we had from the county and a couple other donations. As of today, we have successfully raised $24,000. So our ambition now is to double the match, the response from the community and the support that we've received from existing donors as well as community members has been phenomenal. So we are challenging community members, commissioners, this county to help us double that match and reach our goal of $30,000, which will give us a budget of $45,000 plus the remaining $6,000 from other monies. And then I have another grant that goes before the Leonette Foundation Friday for another $20,000. In all total, if that'll help us get our goal of $71,000, we can get a full-time librarian and a part-time assistant in the door. If we just double the match and we don't get the grant Friday, we'll still be able to increase the library staff capacity to augment our services in surrounding communities. Our goal is Mark Twain, Lockwood, the Virginia City Highlands, as well as Virginia City. So we'd like to really push this inspiring matching grant to help us double the match and increase services and stabilize it, because then the library could move towards becoming a special library, a community library, and get the all the pieces in place with the state so that we have a stable library in the county. So I just wanted to share with you the successes we've had and how excited we are that we've been able to reach this goal and had a great response from the community. Having a paid staff in the door will definitely help us stabilize the services. So
you would need an amount not to exceed $6,000?
Definitely not to succeed.
Okay. Because I know we'll have some money coming in for you from some of our tips and donation things. It's not an agenda item, so we can't really vote on it today, but just the concurrence of... I think we could just direct the staff to...
We can't thank Community Chest, Pam and Eric and Sean for turning this into something. We never thought we'd get a library back again. Simply for the fact that the prior commission had to abandon the library efforts. It was too expensive, but through these grants and making it affordable, and it's going to be a better library the way they're doing it. They're branching out. So we can't vote on this, but I'd like to see the county manager and the comptroller get together and see if there's some way they can come up with some additional funds to help make this work. My concern is going forward each year, are these grants going to be available to keep the program up and running, or are you going to have to come back to us and ask us to increase the stipend each year for...
My goal would be to have it self-sustained. Once we get some kind of recognition through the state, and there is a category under the NRS 379 that is called Special Library, which is separate from county support or county... the county library entity, which if in the future they'd be ever entertained to come back to the county, that's one thing. But if not, we can go under a special library. Once we're recognized through the state, then we can pull down the LSTA monies again. And part of the librarian that we bring in as a staff member, that person's responsibility would be to work with me as a development director for Community Chest to continue to raise money. One thing I've really noticed in all my experience, I've been in Lyon County for the past 13 years on a reservation for 8, I've never noticed communities stepping forward to support a particular resource. So I think that continuing to reach out, finding those needs, those specific needs in these individual communities, not telling them what they need, but asking them what they need, pulling in everybody together. So that was a long way around a question that could have been ordered answered quite shortly. Well, part of the responsibility is to work with me to continue to get funding resources, and then also if we can get state recognition, then we can pull down LSDA monies.
Very good.
Okay. Commissioners, if I might, chime in, I appreciate your suggestions. I'm confident that the comptroller and I can get together and find some amounts. First off, you may not know, but we hope to raise a major part of this Friday night because, and I will say this again in my staff report, the annual county Christmas party happens at Piper's Opera House with drinks beginning at 5 and dinner at 6. And this year,
the county has determined that our tip jars, which we're encouraging people to tip generously since it's a hosted beverage service.
Yes.
Our tip jars will be going to this library match.
Excellent. That will help.
Drink often. Call Sheriff Antonaro.
That's a photo and story.
Call Sheriff Antonaro for a ride home and tip heavily.
Yes.
So we've got that, and Hugh and I will work on the rest. And I did receive an email from Commissioner Gilman from Washington, D.C., who said, you have my full support of our county library, well worth the effort. So Hugh and I will go to work on it, and I understand your deadline is...
December 31st. It has to be in the bank account by December 31st.
Okay. We'll go to work on that, but I think we will probably want to have a meeting with you and Sean and Eric and Hugh and I to talk about issues of sustainability, volume reporting, your envisions of the different library animals, so we don't set ourselves up to fail.
Overextend ourselves, exactly.
I think you guys have done a bang-up job on getting that going, and I like the idea that you've come up with. I think you've been doing great.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been really fun, especially our event at the Core, which raised $10,000. That was really exciting. Beautiful venue.
You guys did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. Give a little pause. Paul, you got a little...
Paul, you're on agenda, so this would be staff reports on something other than on agenda.
We put you on the agenda.
You're on the agenda itself, so you can...
Yeah. Marley?
Do I have to bring my husband with me?
Sure. Come on up. We like looking at him.
Bodyguards are accepted.
He truly is staff.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. We're here to thank many, many people in this room. Commissioners, planning committee, where in the world is Mike Nevin? He needs to be here.
Mike is out at Try preparing the plow.
I suppose. And his employee, Jason, Pat Witten. So let me just start by letting my husband thank for what he has been planning all summer long.
We have lights on our street. This is a great thing. We have lights. They put a light up by the senior center in the parking lot there, which lights it up. We have four other lights coming down. We still need one.
On Perry Ranch Road.
And I don't know if anybody realizes how much they were needed. 6:30 in the morning, the bus comes to pick up the kids to go to the high school and the grade school up here. 6:30 in the morning, it was pitch black there. And it's scary because there's some people that come down the road. Not now, thanks to the sheriff's department. We don't have the problem of the people coming down the road as fast as they used to. Because I have been up there, fortunately, every morning, and I wrote down some license numbers, and our sheriff's department was kind enough to go find these people. So, but the safety factor for the kids and everything up there, I want to congratulate the county, the commissioners, Mike Nevin, Jason, our park, and I'm not bragging. Well, yeah, I am. Our park is the nicest park in Story County now, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, now, I have got so much good news for you guys. All of this work that we've done with the park, with the lights, the concern that commissioners have taken to come down and visit us has brought our community together, the River District, much more gelled and focused on happy, fun things that we've never done before. We have a group of people that are focused there and Virginia City and Mark Twain, and that is the We Care that's under the auspice of the Sheriff's Department. He has put together a group of people that take care of all the fun stuff in this county. You have a representative here, April, for Highlands and Virginia City, and in Mark Twain, it's Denise Victorine. Down there, it's myself, my husband, Larry Huddleston and Dan, and Terry Croxton. We put together a lot of stuff for this county. The first thing we're doing this year for this county is on December 7th, we're taking pictures at the senior center with Santa Claus for kids up to the fifth grade. Last year it was very successful. We're hoping again. I'm the photographer, I take the pictures, I have a processing piece of equipment that I can just process those immediately and hand it to the child and the parent. It was extremely successful. We have cookies and hot chocolate for them also. The hours, I believe, are from 12 to 2. Is that right, Pat? You've got the flyers.
That sounds
I didn't bring all the flyers with me this morning. 12 to 2.
Check on Facebook.
Right.
There you go.
And from then, we go to the 21st, where we're going to do the pictures in the River District at the community building, and that's from 1 to 3. The same thing. Pictures with Santa. We have gift items that we're giving out to all these children in both places, and a picture of their own with Santa. And then we have something that's relatively new that's going on. It's called Parade of Lights.
We're going to have Virginia City. We're having a parade.
We're doing a Parade of Lights on the 23rd, 5:30, meet at the community building with your vehicle decorated and lighted. We had about five SUVs or ATVs last year decorated. It was just super. And we had them pulling a trailer with people sitting on singing carols. The entire community was so amazed at this that this year we have at least a dozen or more vehicles signed up to be there to run through our community, all of the roads that we can access, and do caroling up and down the streets. And all of these items are done through WeCare. This has been amazing because people in our community down there are starting to take notice. They're calling up, wanting to know what's next. These are people that never really got involved in anything. And we can thank our Sheriff's Department for putting together WeCare and picking people in every community to get all of this stuff organized. So I wanted to thank all of you who've paid attention to us and helped us get the items that we really needed to make a community work down there, and all of the departments out here that worked so hard to do that. The fire department, we already know, you know from this summer, went down and cleaned up a lot of brush we had along fence lines and behind homes. That just made everything look a lot better. And safer.
The sheriff's department too.
We're going to have someone with us for safety in front so that we don't have to worry. We don't really have a lot of unsafe drivers down there ever, but just in case somebody's not remembering what's going on. Thank you so much. Thank everybody so much. Our community has totally come together. And for you people that need to know, Pat Whitten gets all this information from us, and he puts it on the website, on Facebook, and everything else. So you just need to go there and find it. We send our information to the newspapers, so we're pretty well covered. We want everybody to know. You'd like to come down and join us for the Parade of Lights, you're more than welcome. We'll have places for people to sit. So thank you so much for everything.
I got my invite this morning from Carrie for the party and all that. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to thank the commissioners and everybody else for working with us.
Oh, you bet. You bet.
Coming working together.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. All right, Sheriff. Start up front today. Our hero.
Just a couple things. Touch on what Mark brought up with the jail fund, so you're aware, Mark. We have been talking about that. I believe we're going to have some resolution, hopefully, on the next agenda or within the next month, sometime in January. So it's not a dead issue.
No.
Another thing, just to touch, and it's a budgetary issue, and not to take away from any of the fun that Marilee and John just shared with us, but give you a notice, my coroner fund is going to be blown out of the water this year. We've had a great deal of unfortunate circumstances, deaths in our county, three over the holiday weekend, two of which ended up needing post-mortem examinations. It's been an ugly time out there, but we're doing what we can to try and keep people safe, but just so you're aware, when the budget time does come around, these are things that we can't plan for. So,
you gave me some figures on your postmortems. Would you Do you have a rough number in your mind right now so that the public is aware of what you've spent on those?
Well, on average, if it's just a topical examination and a toxicology, we're talking $500 to $600. If it's more in depth than that, standard average autopsy runs about $1,800. And in the event of, like, the remains that were found this past summer, where they do a full-blown homicide autopsy, that one in and of itself, so far the bills have reached $5,500, which in and of itself is three-quarters of what was budgeted for that account.
Yeah, that's something to keep in mind when we are working on our annual budgets, is that things like this, this is a case where the remains were found in the septic tank up there, and of course, that can blow your budget out of the water, and it's obviously not over yet. Still going to be, a lot more work done on that. Just one of the things that we have to figure out how we're going to absorb that on these very tight budgets that we operate on. Thanks, Jerry. Corey, you got anything for us? Nada? You just hanging? Danny, you got?
I'll defer to the agenda, Adam.
Okay. You? What do you got?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to embark on a couple of comments that I had a meeting with the physical analyst for Story County, Ms. Susan Lewis, yesterday at the Department of Taxation to go over a meeting we had in September. And several issues were brought up then. First of being the trying to get the Virginia City Tourism Commission, trying to get the ordinance and everything there to where it's law abiding, and it is a separate local government. My kudos to Bob Morris for getting that done. They seem to be very pleased with the resolution. I need to do a couple of those things, and then that will be a done deal. The resolutions eliminating the town of Gold Hill and town of Virginia City, all of those things have been done. Bob Morris again did that for us, which I greatly appreciate. The second thing was the infrastructure tax, which we're going to talk about today. I think Bob Morris has done an admirable job in what he's doing there. That seems to satisfy their interpretation of what the infrastructure tax is, and I understand that as the getting all of that stuff right in the plan being appropriated or being approved at the next meeting is perfectly okay with them. We had medium-term financing application for the Sheriff DA building, and as you know, this came at fairly late date, closing around June. We thought we may pay that all in one lump sum, which we decided not to because we got a pretty decent rate. So that application was in. She had a question with that. There is no problem with that medium-term deal, and the taxation should approve that to be paid out of the infrastructure. Next comes the jail fund, and the jail fund in particular. And there is discussion on the table as to what we will do with the jail fund, if anything. Obviously, there's been some patchwork for this fiscal year, which hopefully will remedy some of that situation. And that will be obviously some comments that we will all have to get along as to whether or not there is a jail fund or is not a jail fund. I'll leave those comments to an appropriate moment. But she understands all of that. She thought it was an assessment. At some point in time, you can assess certain portions of license fees to a jail fund for the purpose of construction, not of operations. They were under the understanding that it was an assessment, and I clearly negated that by saying it mostly is license fees, not assessments, and ad valorem. Next is they were supposed to set up a meeting with their executive director, Chris Nelson, or Nielsen, to figure out what we're going to do with sales tax with regards to the Tahoe Regional Industrial Park. That has not been done. She apologized for that. She also got a call from Pat Whitten on that, and she just she says, we're going to try and get to it. Well, we'll see where that goes. So that ball is back in their court on the TRI thing. And then the Virginia and Truckee Railway Commission, they were going to try and see what they can do from their end as far as distribution of funds. I don't think they can do anything. I think it's a matter of us dealing with the V&T Commission ourselves, trying to figure out what we're going to do in that area. I did get a confirmation letter from Michael Anderson, their outside certified public accountant, to address what we think is owed to us. I will send my schedule along with all the rest of my documentation to them to see, to include in their annual report, which is late, and they have gotten the okay to extend the audit period for some reason or other. Not sure, but taxation's aware of that. I also want the commission to be aware that Mrs. House has my comments to her on the financial statements that were presented. I don't know if she's here today or not, but it doesn't look like it. So she may have some comments before or at the next meeting. I would encourage anybody, if they have comments concerning the audited financial statements for the year end in 2013, give me an email with what you need, and I'll be glad to give it to you. I mean, it's I think it's a little better if through an email, because then I can go through the document, try and find the information, and give you some sort of an answer. And also during my meeting with the Department of Taxation, we went over the auditor's comments for the current year as far as excess expenditures over appropriations. And we have been very consistent in our application of this to not budget for extraordinary items. Now, the sheriff's completely right. I mean, that thing is done. But we understand it. We know what it is. If there are monies available because of this extraordinary item in his budget, then we will augment or appropriate something at that point in time. So the system works. I would not want to go to where we give a lot of budgetary wiggle room because we don't know where we're going. But we know what it is. We've addressed it. We can fix it. And so from the sheriff's point of view, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because we can certainly do that.
Backing up to the V&T thing, have you seen their audit report yet?
No, it's late. They've applied for an extension.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm getting a confirmation letter on what they owe us so very late.
Okay. That explains then why we were supposed to have a V&T commission meeting this month, and Kevin hasn't responded back yet with the date or anything. So.
I don't anticipate you getting that probably until February.
Okay. All right. That explains a lot then. Thank you. Gary,
good morning, Mr. Chairman, honorable board members. Thank you for giving me a few minutes here. We have a continuing story that seems to keep going on with our agency, and that is we've lost three more people to the Truckee Mills Fire Protection District, effective the 10th. We are fortunate that we have a consortium open current consortium testing list that we'll be interviewing on Monday from. There's six applicants that are fully qualified from that list that remain on that list. After this go-around, that list will probably be completely expired. There won't be anybody left on that list that meets our qualifications. Our qualifications are a little bit different than the other agencies that tested with us, in that we require Firefighter 1, we require a CDL or F endorsement for driver's licenses, so we're a little more stringent. With that said, we will be advertising for reserve firefighters and establishment of another hiring list. Just to bring you kind of up to where we're at on our count, this will be number 5 since July 1st. 4 to Truckee Meadows, 1 to the Airport Authority. Commissioner Gilman had asked about exit interviews, which of course we conduct, and I've talked to the county manager at length about this. There's not really one thing that I can point to that I could bring this board and say, this is why we're losing people. That would almost be too easy, I guess. But it's across the board. It's, and I'll be honest with you, some of it is equipment. We've had a lot of ambulance breakdowns that I keep bringing up, and it seems like it's never ends with it. But all three of these people experienced breakdowns in ambulances with patients in the back. That was probably the number one thing through the exit interview process that I heard from them. They don't do transports at these other agencies that they're going to. They find that attractive. And the final kind of, if I'm going to try to solidify this, the final thing is upward mobility. We're a small department. We're a small district. At Truckee Meadows and these other agencies, there is upward mobility. They have operator positions that we expect our firefighters to be able to operate. We don't have those dedicated positions. So all those things kind of culminate into the loss of employees. Going after the comptroller, I will tell you that those losses are expensive. It's out in the open that we were in a deficit last year. Last year we lost 14 people in that fiscal year. And I would just remind people that when we lose those folks, they come in under probation. They can't use any annual leave for 6 months. So all three of these were probationary employees already. So we have to buy all that annual leave when we lose them. We also have to pay for their original physicals, for the new hire physicals that we replace them with, for their PPE. And to remind you guys, the PPE is just for structural firefighting PPE, and it never seems like it's the same size, so we can't necessarily reuse it for them. But that's about $2,200 to $2,400 just for structural firefighting gear, not including our SCBA masks, not including wildland firefighting gear, not including all the myriad of other things that we have to provide to these folks. So it's expensive. And we were in a deficit last year, but I just kind of want to bring those things up. And I will add to that kind of same story that Sheriff had is we had two repairs alone last year, just two repairs. One was for a patrol truck, a small brush truck. The engine blew up on it. That ended up, when everything was said and done, to be almost $20,000 for just the replacement of that engine. There's no way around that. Another repair was one of our Type 2 brush engines that we use for brush and structural firefighting that we just paid off in that lease purchase agreement. Something went haywire in it. One of the gears let go, went all the way through the transfer case and basically front to back. Our shop didn't have the ability to repair that. It takes heavy jacks to lift those pumps and everything out of it. That repair alone was $12,000. Just those two items alone was my line item for the entire fiscal year for maintenance. So those are some of the things that we don't necessarily bring up in these public hearings that maybe we ought to be throwing out there. So, I mean, in one-on-one meetings, you're all aware of those things. I don't try to hide those things from anybody, but it's expensive. So after Monday, we'll be making appointments. Human Resource Director Austin Osborne will be expediting those so we're not eating up more overtime and eating up more of our budget. So that's kind of where we're at. If there aren't any questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Okay, did I get everybody out there?
No, Denny.
Huh?
Denny? Denny Dotson.
Oh,
grab it outside. Yeah,
I think I got everybody down. Okay, anything to eat? Nothing? Bill?
I just wanted to say, probably a lot of you are wondering why things you asked me to do haven't been getting done. I've been real busy with the criminal for some reason for the last couple of months, and then one of my other jobs, a public administrator, I ended up, the sheriff was talking about the problems he's had down in Lockwood. If they don't have any relative, then I end up having to handle it from the public administrator point of view. A couple of weeks ago, I had to drive down to Lockwood and search around in a trailer to see if somebody had a will. And that, I probably spent a week or 2 weeks on public administrator stuff for the last, over the last 3 or 4 months. But I had the externs that came in and helped me for about a year and a half. We had three of them, which was, that took some of the pressure off of me in the criminal area. And I haven't had anybody for the last 6 months, but we have the deputy DA that you all authorized me. Hopefully he'll be on board by the first of the year. I'll probably have them do the criminal to begin with, and then I can just concentrate on the civil things that I need to get done. So the bad news is that some of you haven't got what you've asked for, but hopefully by the first part of next year, with some help on the criminal side, I'll be able to get to a lot of the civil stuff I need to do. That's all I have. Okay. Well, except for the fact that Texas A&M didn't do very well in football this year. So it hasn't been a real good year in that regard. And Manziel probably won't win the Heisman again this year, so.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, if you're going to die, go to another county. Yeah. Or
have some relatives.
Hold off for a bit. All right, Pat.
A couple of quick things. One is by approval of the consent agenda previously at this meeting. I want to make sure everybody knows that one of the items in there was due to lack of volume, time of year with the holidays, there will not be a second meeting in December. So our next meeting will be scheduled for 10 a.m. on January 7th, 2014. For those looking for good news, I would Google Zulily. And you may have to Google it a couple of ways because I think it's Z-I-L-I-L-Y. But Zulily is a tri-based business, Story County-based business, that is really unique. They're a Seattle-based company, and they have described themselves as the QVC of the Internet. They buy large lot items that apparently particularly moms and young children just drool over, and they put them out at fabulously priced points. They had their initial public offering, and I learned this, by the way, on the Story County social site, Facebook, so like us on that, too. But Zulily had their initial public offering, I think, 2 days ago. They had determined to price their stock out at $22 a share, and they closed that day at something like $36 or $38 a share. It was astronomical performance. Yeah. So great news for one of our companies, and I wish Commissioner Gilman were here. I see Vince is here, and I think Chris has been or still is or wherever. So please pass our thanks on. You guys made that happen out there, and that's another marquee, and I understand there's more on the way. So great job there. And then for those not only wishing good news but good cheer and good times, one last time verbally, our county Christmas party is this Friday. All are welcome. And that includes those that are not in this room to hear it. We do not send out invitations anymore, per se, except to a few individuals, such as the district court judges, so they make sure they know of it. Cocktails, hosted cocktails and soft drinks begin at 5 p.m. On Friday at Piper's Opera House, with dinner following at 6, and there will be some light entertainment as well. So, and we are using once again, a Virginia City-based caterer. We're switching the mix up this year, and the fine folks from the Bonanza will be providing our okay. meal. So that's it.
Remember, drink early, drink often.
Call Jerry.
As Dean Martin once said, if you're going to drink, don't drive. You probably shouldn't even putt.
Can Joe Hart come to that if he wants?
He can.
All right. Do you have any commissioners' comments or board comments?
I have nothing, Mr. Chairman.
I don't think I have anything in particular either, so
I have a statement Commissioner Gilman asked me to read in his absence. County Commission meeting December 3rd, 2013. Statement regarding Phillips FDS allegation against Gilman. In September of this year, Mark Joseph Phillips filed a formal written complaint with the Secretary of State claiming Story County Commissioner Lance Gilman failed to disclose two creditors on his FDS filings during his campaign and filing after his election as a Story County Commissioner. Mr. Phillips published this allegation in a local paper and made public statements about it as well. Scott Giles, Deputy Secretary of State for Elections for the State of Nevada, fully investigated the complaint and has totally exonerated Commissioner Gilman. In a letter to Commissioner Gilman dated November 25, 2013, Mr. Giles states as follows, quote, upon review of your written response, this office is convinced that your financial disclosures are accurate and met the requirements of NRS 281.571. As such, the Secretary of State's office finds that the allegations in the above-referenced election integrity violation report do not, underlined, amount to a violation of NRS 281 or any other statute or administrative code within Title 24, end quote. And the underlined and do not was also in the original report. Mr. Giles has closed the investigation on Mr. Phillips' complaint. So, Lance, ask that I read.
Okay, item number 8, approval of resolution 13387, community service award, and the lucky winner is...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and commissioners, and, folks in the audience. I will start with Christmas in the Comstock first. I didn't mention it in my staff report, but that is this weekend, our big festive annual Christmas party. We hope to have one of the best parade of lights that we've ever had, and we are looking for all entries where possible. Anybody that has a vehicle and want to put a headlight on it or a Christmas light, just jump in. We're going to do some fun stuff. We got a lot of activities planned for the entire day. So please come up and enjoy this weekend. That's on Saturday, December 7th.
I noted town this weekend was jam-packed with cars from one end to the other. I talked to Tom Gray. He had a really successful weekend running the candy cane.
And to leverage off that, too, I'd like to recognize two gentlemen, and specifically one, I think, in the theme of Christmas on the Comstock, and that is Clay Mitchell and Scott Jolkover. I was at the Gold Hill last night. I've never seen that place as beautifully decked out.
Yeah.
And then if you drive a half mile south and see the New York head frame lit up and all the other properties that are there, I mean, it truly is Christmas on the Comstock for the first time I can remember. It's not Christmas in Virginia City. So great job, gentlemen, and Clay, probably especially to you. I saw you out there stoking fires and changing light bulbs even as I was there. So,
Clay, I'll give you my address after the meeting. Come out and do it.
He'll pay me.
Go ahead, Danny.
And to echo those sentiments, there's a lot of people here on the Comstock in Virginia City or across Story County that really go out of their way each year. Whether they're running a business, a corporation, or just an individual doing volunteering, doing good works here in the community, they don't often get a lot of thanks in return. And not that they're even looking for it. Each year, Story County and the Virginia City Tourism Commission likes to give back a little bit and recognize one of these individuals in our Community Service Award, or i.e. Business of the Year, if it pertains. This award is put together by a subcommittee of myself, Tourism Community Service Director, and also Community Development, along with our county manager here for input. And we award it to an organization or an individual that has shown significant achievement or has made significant contributions to the residents of Story County. When we're looking at this, these people, these nominations, we take into consideration entrepreneurship, product innovation, significant business achievement for that year, possibly, excellence in community relations or contributions, like I mentioned, high standard of employee relations, again, just an overall economic health of Story County or contributions to the health of Story County. So when we look at these things and throw them up, trying to think of who would be, and again, it's very tough. There's a lot of individuals here who do go out of their way all year long. But with that, we had one recommendation, one that we thought would be most appropriate. And I think it's only fair to say that this individual, when you come to Virginia City, there's a few things that you remember when you come here. Some folks check in the visitor center, and one of the first things they want to do, one of the first things we recommend, is you hop on this trolley and you get a good overview of what's here in Virginia City. From there, they can go out and venture to whatever their interests are. And with that, we thought it would be most appropriate, and again, not necessarily for an annual award, but this individual for the last 37 years has been pretty much one of the faces of Virginia City and a teller of the history of the Comstock. With that, I'd like to award Carl Cuttle and the Virginia City Tours as a 2013 Community Service Award, i.e. Business of the Year. Carl, come on up. Carl, congratulations. Yeah, outstanding.
For those of you who don't know me, who might not know me because I've been kind of quiet the last few years, I am Carl Cuttle. It's not 37 years, it's 27. But still, a lifetime. I had a black beard and a full head of hair when I started. But it's been a wonderful relationship I've had with Virginia City. Been up here for the longest time and just enjoyed the people and enjoyed the town and tried to be a part of the town.
Yeah. And you've done a great job up here, Carl. We won't tell anyone that you're a Californian.
But speaking of that, I'd like to just throw in, you know, businesses that seem to almost run themselves because of the quality of the employees.
Yes.
Every evening, if I'm out walking, particularly on weekends, you know, I see two gentlemen out there that I think I have their script memorized right now, at least as it passes my backyard. Your two guys that generally work in any other fill-ins and jab that joined you today, I mean, this is their commendation as well. You have a great staff. You should be very proud of them.
I am very proud of the staff. Have been very proud of my staff.
Stand up for us.
Yes. Jack Blessy.
Come on up, take a photograph. Resolution. I'm going to read that for you.
Do I read? You're going to read?
I'll read it for you. You guys take a photograph.
Nice legs, Bubba.
I've also had the pleasure of having Bonville Cargo work with me, too. Mr. Chairman, would you like to read the resolution, or would you like me to?
I'll read it. Please do that, and then we'll...
You got it. Resolution 13-387, a resolution honoring Carl Cuttle and Virginia City Tours as a 2013 annual Story County Community Services Award winner. Whereas this award will be presented to a business or organization that has shown significant contributions to Virginia City and the residents of Story County. Whereas Carl Cuttle and the Virginia City Tours have provided transportation for our visitors to the Comstock for over 27 years.
Well, the company has been here since 75.
Okay. So good. And has shown strong community relations and contributions towards the economic health of Virginia City and Story County. Therefore, let it be known to all present that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County do hereby resolve, commend, and honor Mr. Carl Cuttle and the Virginia City Tours for the continued and exemplary service to the people of Story County.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hands are full.
That's all right.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, everybody.
We appreciate you, Carl.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl.
Mr. Chairman, it gives me pleasure to move to approve the resolution honoring Carl Cuttle in the Virginia City Tours.
Right. The distinct pleasure for me to second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All righty. Again, Carl, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure working with you over the last many, many, many years on a lot of different projects. So, okay, item number 9. Paul is going to come up and give us a little update on natural gas.
Okay.
Is there such a thing as unnatural gas?
We don't talk about that mixed up. I had a good meeting with Southwest Gas a couple weeks ago. They are interested in coming up. If the numbers are right, if it's an economically viable project, they're interested in coming up. What swayed them, I think, on this visit with them is, number one, I came in with some numbers of what the businesses in Virginia City and Gold Hill are using right now, propane, heating oil, electricity, and there is really an overwhelming positive movement to go to natural gas. But it has to work out. One of the things that really swayed them is if we can get Comstock Mining in this program, they have expressed interest. Because their production is ramping up in the refinery process, they use propane. They're ramping up production. They're ramping up usages of propane. Comstock Mining, if a natural gas line gets to Virginia City, it'll be because of Comstock Mining. Number two, who uses a lot of propane in the community, is a school district. Boy, they use a lot of propane. Quite amazing. So I need to give them some more numbers on some what a house is used in Virginia City. So I'm going to be kind of doing some sampling. I'll be walking around the courthouse. People live in Virginia City, especially the older houses. If I can give them a questionnaire, how many square feet do they have? If they could estimate how much propane they use, what have you. And I'll be working on that this month and getting it back to Southwest. But to make the project going, we have to put in, to make it economically viable, and this is a small community, they need a trench. They need a trench from Highway 50, a free trench, to Virginia City. As I said before, yes, we are doing some water projects where we could share trenches. We could put a water line down and a gas line at the same time. Paramount into that is putting in a quality system on the cheap is finding the right routing. I was out driving around on Sunday in the Silver City area, got stuck in my truck, but it's four-wheel drive, and I got out. The routing is tough, and Southwest Gas, as soon as I get the residential data to them, then we'll work on routing, and then they can put some numbers together. We definitely need Comstock Mining's business and cooperation, getting some good cooperation from CMI. Serious problems on this. Of course, it's money like anything else. However, it's the routing's going to be tough. And I'm going to end up, you know, if the snow doesn't get too deep, I'll probably end up walking from the chocolate factory, because right behind the chocolate factory, as I understand, is the Paiute high-pressure gas line. And I'm going to walk up and get some ideas of routing, because Google Earth and maps only go so far. I have to walk and I want to give Southwest some good routes. And the whole trick of putting in a natural gas line is, you can do the estimates in the office of what the pipe costs, what the valves cost, everything like that. But it's the digging of the trench is the tough spot. We have to find not only a good direct, the most direct route and the easiest digging. We don't want to blast. and we don't want to, we may have to ultimately get a trench saw out here, but, you know, the cheaper you do this, the better prospects are getting the line in. We will have serious competition. This will not be a monopoly. We have serious competition with the providers of propane. And praise them, because it's keeping my house warm as I talk right now on propane. But the propane people, this is their business, and they, believe me, will do whatever it takes to protect their business. Really some nice guys serving us on the propane, but they're going to be very competitive, which is an aspect that blindsided me. I thought I was pretty much aware of all the ins and outs of putting in a propane line, but we have competition. We also have some competition from electricity, from NV Energy. So that is going to be a challenge. One thing we have to give serious consideration to, you know, my efforts continue. This is a long-term project. This is 3 to 5 years, and this is tough. This is really tough. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to give you an honest effort here. Matter of fact, next week I want to go up to Susanville to talk to the city of Susanville, because they did what we want to do. They did it several years ago. They put in a pipeline from Tuscarora on in the city of Susanville, and I've already talked to the natural gas manager about coming up there and talking to him about the good, bad, and ugly of putting in, connecting up a city to natural gas. So the effort continues. It's a long-term project. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but I'm going to give you an honest effort on this. And eventually it'll come here. I just want all of us to live long enough to see it. You know, but it is going to happen right away. And I'm working at it. I'm giving it my all. But one thing we probably should do in the meantime is finding out ways of interacting with the propane industry and see if we can get these people some cheaper propane. There are people in the committee that pay too much, and maybe hook or crook, we can find a way of cheaper propane. Anyway, I'm working on different scenarios. I asked if everybody would keep me in the loop on stuff that affects my project. I appreciate it. If you have any questions now, please ask me. Call me at home, wherever you can get me. I'm glad I'm retired, because I would not have time enough to do this project working. But I enjoy working with you folks. It's been a privilege, but the effort continues, and it's a long-term project. I'm going to give it my all. Yes, sir.
How much resistance would you anticipate from the propane industry? I mean, would that be a major lobby issue with the PUC to try to stop that? You have any insight or feelings, opinions on that?
Well, I don't know if they will get to the PUC level. I expect PUC efforts to be a rubber stamp when Southwest Gas gets in there. However, yes, and what's going to happen when this project gets serious? The price of propane is going to go down, way down. And they're going to get competitive. And maybe that's good. Maybe this should be a 100-year project so we get cheaper propane. I don't know. We have that threat out there. But this is how they feed their families. And they're good people. I like them. I like them personally. My provider, I like how he does business. But the industry, and there's several companies that come up here, they're going to do whatever it takes to keep their business.
Okay, and my other question is, how much of the Mound House area is on natural gas?
Ooh, good question. I don't know. I have talked to Southwest. Could we connect at the end of their system to where they stop? And they said no, because there's not enough pressure. We have to connect to the Paiute line, because that's a big-time line under high pressure. And we need to put an adequate-sized pipe up to Virginia City, because we're going to use that pressure to push that gas all the way up to here. So we don't, hopefully don't have to build a compressor station, which gets expensive. And you know, even if we were to get the line built, we have to build a quality system cheap, because we have to pay for this in a surcharge. There will be a surcharge on top of what the Dayton people pay, but it'll be a significant savings, even with the surcharge, over alternatives.
Paul, do you know the price of natural gas per gallon right now, on average?
Equivalent to propane? I've been quoting 80 cents. It's gone up to about a buck.
Just for the record, and I think Commissioner McBride educated me on this, we really only have less than a handful of companies to choose from anymore. Bi-State merged with AmeriGas, which is really Heritage. You've got Feral Gas, the county's current vendor, and Paul's a buck a gallon. I just argued with my propane company, AmeriGas, yesterday over $3.56 a gallon.
$3.56? You're paying $3.56?
No, I fixed that a little bit. I'm still getting hosed.
Oh my goodness! You know, we really have to work on this on an interim basis. Yeah, I'm paying less than you, Pat.
Have you ever talked to Southwest about liquefied natural and bringing it up by truck? And I know that requires significant modifications of tanks and things like that. It's just something I was curious about.
Our current propane tanks, our current system in town, like my house, will not handle liquefied natural gas. However, there are a few satellite systems where you have a liquefied natural gas tank, which is a special tank,
yes.
And then you run the underground pipes. Most times when I bring this up to whomever in the natural gas world, they shake their head. But it is a possibility. However, then we have to still have to put the pipes in the ground up and down Virginia City. Now, when Southwest does come up here, we may not hit all the streets. We may just hit the big users just to get them in here, and then with time, you know, every year connect up a street or two of the biggest users. You know, we may not do 100% when they get up here. You know, if we do 50, 60, 70%, to me, that would be a huge accomplishment, because from there, it'll go. It'll spread throughout the years.
Paul, when in tying into the Southwest line out around Highway 50, we're going to have to acquire utility right-of-way as well, will we not? Or will we be able to use NDOT's right-of-way and go alongside the highway? Or can we use existing utility right-of-way in the energy power lines? Or do you have any idea where we, because we know that we're going to have to acquire the land in some respect in order to run.
Yeah, we'll have to get right-of-ways. In regards to using NDOT right-of-ways, you need a big shoulder. If you put it like right next to the roadway or on the roadway, you have to have, it has to be double cased, and that gets expensive. So like when 342 is redone, hopefully they put a big wide shoulder. We can run it far enough from the pavement where we don't have to double case it, because that gets expensive, as I said. We'll have to get right of ways. My thinking is some of that land's going to be developed. These people who own the land now are going to want natural gas. And, you know, we could put valves in for them for the future. you know, gee, we're going to put natural gas, you could take advantage of it too. Hopefully that will swim, and but MB Energy, Southwest Gas, they have a whole department that does right-of-ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what they do for a living. But we, the most crucial thing is straight line to Virginia City, easy digging. And I'd like to go through Silver Springs, but, you know, it's just south of Silver Springs is a son of a gun. Through Silver Springs is a son of a gun. A lot of those roads are just like the original earth, and then they paved over them. And it's like tough digging, really tough digging. So it's, you know, right away is all tied in the cost. Easy digging straight line is what we're going to have to try to find. And heck, we may, you know, I'd like to go through Silver Springs. We may have to go around and up through Mound House. You know, there's, I've even asked people about the Sutro Tunnel, but it's collapsed, you know, and so.
Oh, back to your comments on the propane and Manager Whitman. We all have the same problem with propane. Everybody in this room is paying a different price for propane. Imagine if you drove up to the local gas station and everybody paid a different price for gasoline. It doesn't make any sense to me or anybody else, except for the propane companies, because it's whatever the market will bear. And I'll go back to an employee of mine 2 years ago, older resident, lives in Gold Hill, supplements her income by working for me or her Social Security, and she brought in her propane bill to me, $4.95 a gallon. And it's like, either these people have no conscience, or it's just whatever the market will bear. People don't know that there's any competition out there.
Yeah.
They get stuck with these high bills.
In the propane industry, you make it when you can make it, and if you got a customer that you can't make it on, then you cut it. It's, you know, they have to support their businesses. Believe me, there are big users here in Virginia City that the propane companies don't make that much money on. They make money on everybody, but they don't make that much money on. They got to make money, but, you know, I think we need to work with them as an interim measure and come up, like internally, the county some way, if we can approach them somehow of reining in some of the, excuse me for saying this, excess prices, you know. But it's whatever the market will bear. But, I mean, there's some of these old houses. In a tough winter, I'm spending $500 a month, and I get a good rate, you know. And I got storm windows on now. So we need to maybe do some interim measures here.
Well, I applaud your efforts, Paul, because I know this is a...
Yeah, I'm trying to... Please be patient with me. I'm trying.
It's, you don't have any choice.
Yeah, I have no idea what I was getting into when I got into this, but I'm into it. I'm into it for the long haul, and hell or high water, you know, I'm plugging ahead. Damn the torpedoes.
I kind of want to wrap this one up by, again, leveraging off of what Commissioner McBride said. We owe Paul just a huge thanks. We, the county, and especially probably the people of Virginia City and Gold Hill, both the businesses and the residences and the government offices between the schools, the county offices and everything. This is the consummate volunteer. He brought probably the most impeccable resume I've ever seen when he said, I'd like to help. I don't want anything other than your ear every once in a while and your assistance when I need it. And I do want to point out, I've learned a lot in working with Paul over the last several months. And when he says he's going to walk the line or the potential lines from the chocolate nugget to wherever he's going to go, he's the one man I know that is truly capable of walking that line, because his only absence in probably 8 or 9 months of doing this was he checked out for about a month, as I recall,
a month,
to walk another portion of the Pacific Crest Trail, which gives you most, if not all, of the entire Pacific Crest Trail. So when he said he's going to walk the line,
I'm going to walk it. The battle continues. The battle continues. And I'm giving it my all.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to go ahead and start this one, and I'll kick off if I may.
Yeah. Let's hit number 10 here, Story County Infrastructure Tax. And go for it.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, this is, as our comptroller has mentioned, this is under the scrutiny of the Department of Taxation. However, they are very reasonable folks. Commissioner Gilman's sudden call back to Washington, D.C., really posed us with a dilemma. As you can tell by the size and scope of these projects, they're sizable and they're far into the future. He has asked with due respect that we go ahead and kick off the hearing today as intended, listen to public comment, but defer any decisions until he can be back, hopefully for the first meeting in January. So it would be staff recommendation, since people came here to testify today and be heard, that we encourage them to do that. And I intend to provide to his key staff a copy of the DVD so he can come up to speed the minute he lands and know that public comment so it doesn't have to be restated in the future, and we can move on forward from there.
So I guess with that, we'll take public comment.
Nicole.
Public comment.
Nicole's in the back.
Nicole, come on up on it.
Nicole Bard, Highlands resident. I'm happy to hear that it's going to get not postponed, but dealt with at also another meeting, because I would appreciate a little bit more information about it. Like, this is proposing a new infrastructure fund. Okay. How much was in the last fund? What was it spent on? Was there any overlap between it and what was also put in the capital projects fund? So you're voting to extend it to this list of projects, but we don't have a list of what the original list of projects were, what was spent, and, you know, what that is. The second thing is the term infrastructure. I've looked at the NRS. The infrastructure fund is delineated from a capital fund. I understand that. Capital funds, you can only spend the money on what it states, nothing else but the actual construction, not for salaries or anything else. Infrastructure does have an item in there where you can, from infrastructure, pay interest, principal, et cetera, on other things. So my question is part of this infrastructure fund that you are recommending in the projects for the VMT in particular going to be to construct and physically deal with the tunnel, the depot, and other things, or is some of that going to be going towards interest and principal of the bond we just floated? Do you know that? I mean, just question.
I think what we'd like to do is probably just hear the comments, and then Hugh's taking notes, Bob Morris is taking notes. You know, we can generally answer. I would tell you that where you see the VMT depot purchase, the VMT restoration, and the Gold Hill restoration specifically, there is no intent to pay principal or interest on bond indebtedness for those. These would be items outside potentially the rail bond monies. No monies from this infrastructure account would go. And just to kind of clarify one thing so we can get off on the right foot, this really isn't a new tax. This is a refreshing of a tax, you know, that's been on the books for quite some time. Getting you the list that was accomplished is easy.
Okay.
I'll ask Hugh to take care of that.
But the original list, my understanding of it per statute, is that when you do an infrastructure tax, you've got to list those project. So if you could provide what the original projects were from 2000, then what was done, carried through, that would be.
Well, and this is basically repopulating the list that we expired, that last list. So if you could picture out that we had a list, we finished off that list, we still continued to collect that tax with taxation's knowledge, you know, and now it's time to get a new list out there and in front of people.
Okay, so is there any carryover on this list from the prior list?
Not in terms of projects, in terms of money, absolutely.
Okay, so I think that's some of the detail that would help us understand exactly what is this. I mean, I am just curious because that's a big gap in the information that's provided. The other thing, and this is more a Hugh thing, is that in the last two audits, infrastructure, the infrastructure fund and the capital fund in those two audits, the infrastructure tax has been, or fund has been titled Infrastructure Capital Projects. So my question is, is it a gray, it could be a gray area, but if it's titled Capital Projects and you're paying interest out of it, for the bonds, are you in compliance or out of compliance with NRS? Because you've got a blended title here. So a pure infrastructure tax, as I understand it per the statute, you can pay principal and interest. A capital fund, you cannot. And I brought this up in the last meeting, and that was my concern at the time, is that you've got a bond fund for rail out of which you're paying, you're retiring as well as paying interest. And I'm just asking that you look at that and get a determination. If it's gray, I can live with that if we're not going to have any consequences. But if it's not gray, we will need to fix that.
And Nicole, if I may, regardless of what the fund may or may not have been called to pass, which I'm looking at Hugh for that, but you know, defer to legal counsel here in just a minute, as we go forward with the first reading of the next ordinance, which truly I'm going to call mostly a housekeeping, bringing all of our different sales taxes under one ordinance. Mr. Morris has clearly identified the board has adopted a plan for expenditures out of the infrastructure special revenue fund. So there's no reference to capital fund. Any reference in the past, you know, needs to certainly be figured out, but it shouldn't cloud anything. And the bottom line, again, is at this stage, at least in conversations I've had with Hugh and with the individual commissioners, is we intend to rely on the B&T Rail Commission for payment on any bond indebtedness, and because that was as that position was floated before.
Okay, so again, look at what you're paying, if my request is from the fund for rail, and if it's okay for statute for us to be paying interest.
Okay.
Dale Beach?
Come on up, Dale.
Dale Beach, Mark Twain. What I've seen since I've been coming to these meetings is you people put this on here, and the general public has no idea what it is. Lance is a good guy when he's here. He says, show us what has been, what is, and where we're going. And I would, if the comptroller's going to pass out something to her about what we've spent and what we took in, I'd like to have a copy of it, too, in writing. And I could have some ideas because infrastructure, I can see a lot down in our neighborhood. You people have furnished us two streetlights and zero water control, erosion control in the last 10 years. Nothing. And I'd like to see the people being knowledgeable coming. I'll take down there and call a meeting maybe and have people come in and explain to them what we're doing and why we're not getting our share. Because I love the county, but my home is Mark Twain, and if there's a dollar to split up, I want a fair share of it down there, because I drive around the neighborhood a while, once every day. And that's the issue. More detail. Bring us into the fold and let us all find out what is and what ain't. Maybe we can have a little input. It's just there's three or four people here to talk, and that's not enough. We need from hundreds of people going out and having these meetings on this stuff to find out where we're going with this infrastructure, because they all care. If they know there's a dollar, they'd like to see it spent right in front of their house. And naturally, I would, too.
Thanks, Bill. Anyone else?
Good.
Sure.
I'll get Nicole the exact details, and I'll get Dale that, too. Probably in summary, this thing started in 2002, this plan, and it was for the, it was for a couple of things. It was a new roof for one of the schools, of about $300,000, I think. There was about another one for $20,000 for the repair of one of the schools in the district. And then the other portion of it was the repair of some water lines that were coming through the town. So that's pretty much where the expenditures were on that. That plan has been completed. So consequently, we now are trying to put another plan in place. In conjunction with that, we're going to try, what Bob Morris has done is try to clean up some of the language so that we can go forward without having a lot of ambiguity with result of the infrastructure tax. And there was a lot of combinations with a lot of other taxes in the ordinance at that point in time. As far as the financial statement presentation, that's part of the capital projects funds are things that are used for a capital project. We have the capital outlay fund, which is a special revenue fund. We have the V&T project, obviously, which is a bond issue, and another special revenue fund, and of course the infrastructure tax. All have different NRSs that apply to them. And so consequently, with infrastructure tax, which is 377B, it used to be very restrictive up until about 4 years ago, where it kind of opened the floodgates and said you could do a lot of things with it. And so where we're going with that, and you can have interim financing with that to pay principal interest off that, because that's a comment that I had with the Department of Taxation on whether we could use that for midterm financing on some projects that we may or may have in the future. So with that, it depends upon the NRS, the applicable NRS that we have. But with the infrastructure, it's my belief that we can pay principal and interest. And I will get that list for you. If you're going to have a break, I can do that today.
Mr. Gallagher, could you tell me basically how much is received in the fund per year?
Right now, I don't, about per year, I can give you analysis. Right now, we got about $2 million.
And Bob, it varies greatly by the amount of construction going on in the industrial park, because goods and materials delivered out there. When we did a $500 million power plant for NV Energy, Sierra Pacific at that time, we went through the roof with a spike. When they built a 1 million-square-foot Walmart, we spiked again. On average, I would probably tell you $500,000. Sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more, but we want to be in position when we spike, because we have a very tight grasp, despite all these sales tax issues that are very prevalent out there that I'm glad to hear you address with them again. We've got to fix sales tax, not just for tri-construction, but for internet taxation and those types of things. I mean, the Supreme Court ruled yesterday. I think I like what Nicole said. And I want to, since Hughes opened that up, Nicole, what's in the packet and presented to the public ahead of time and to the commission is just simply a summary format with the intention of saying these are the things we dream to do. Okay, these are the things we want on this list. Keep in mind, this list can be refreshed. We can strike items off the list for changing priorities. Tunnel 6, classic example. We were going to rely heavily on this on Tunnel 6, and there's been a shift of interest, if you will. So let's spend just 10 minutes, if we may, and talk about the projects that are on this list verbally, because that's how we do it. You know, we get the core information out there that's acceptable to taxation, and we would fill in the blanks as best we can verbally. And if you want more, please ask. We encourage you. And I'll go over to Mr. Beach here in a minute as well. The V&T Depot purchase, we have long dreamt to get the freight depot across from the Silverland Hotel under county ownership. And it's not, there's no desire to really take it as a taking unless it's necessary, but if you really look at its current condition, it's got the potential to become destroyed, if you will, through either negligent acts or just nature. And if the county has a long history of acquiring old buildings, finding dedicated groups to then turn them into treasures, specifically the Fourth Ward School, which is a treasure, St. Mary's Art Center, the old St. Mary's Hospital, which is becoming one again under their dedicated group, Liberty Engine Company, the list goes on. So that is that item for the purchase. Will it cost $600,000? To be determined. Can we come back and change this? Yes. But that item is kind of, that's the expanded version of that one, and there's a long process to go.
And that includes the surrounding property?
Yeah, and that includes extra property owned at the same time. And the key there is one of the other things we're trying to solve in many of these that I'll go over, is parking. Okay, parking sucks. And we're really trying to fix that as best we can with making more of it available. V&T restoration, that is, once we get the depot, we know we got to restore. Do you want to recess, boss, or you know this stuff? Okay. Once we get the depot, we've got to restore. Is that enough? I don't know, because we aren't on the building, and we've got to get a historic structures report and many things. But we figure let's plug a number in there for now. We can always come back and fine-tune it. And no, plug's not a good number. The Gold Hill restoration, we went through great pains several months ago to basically take back control of a depot because we weren't pleased with the progress. Now under the BCTC's leadership, you know, they're beginning to get reports. We're trying to get, another historic structures report that says this is your highest priority. You know, fix the foundation before you fix the roof because it's going to crumble. We don't know those things. So that is, again, at least some money to be dedicated toward the restoration of the Gold Hill Depot. Continuing down that list, I think it was the prior commission, although it could have been this one, made the decision to buy from one of the two homeowners groups in the Highlands, I believe the 1 acres, the Highlands Fire Station. They preferred terms. What we're trying to do here is potentially provide, as long as it's allowed under the statute, a mechanism to go ahead and provide for those future payments to complete the purchase of that. The courthouse remodel, I'm going to tell you right off the top of the head, we can't throw enough money at this place. You know, every time we turn around, Sherry Nevin is doing a phenomenal job going out after grants, but oftentimes grants have matches, and this, to the best of my knowledge, for most grants, can most likely be used as a grant match opportunity when necessary. The roof is a mess. The electricity finally through a series of grants has been upgraded to a level. Again, we need an updated historic structures report from this according to the State Historic Preservation Office. And so, you know, that may or may not be eligible for this, but we will always be looking for renovations and upgrades here, even clear down to earthquake stability. The DA Sheriff building purchase, and I'm glad to see it finally make the list, is a DA Sheriff building purchase, so the sheriff singularly isn't getting the tar beat out of him for something that had nothing to do with him other than he had a great idea on how to save money. Again, Mr. Gallagher mentioned today medium-term debt financing. We're going through that process now of fixing what we didn't have the time to fix, and we knowingly did, okay? I mean, we look taxation in the eye and say, yep, we did it because the seller wanted to close, the seller wanted terms for the record, but we had to do it. Did Jerry go over his budget? No, we sent him over his budget by the conscious decision to purchase that. Now we're finding the mechanisms to make payment for that that we knew we had all along. The Lakeview Waterline, again, I have to tell you, I wish Mike Nevin was here. For those of you that live in Virginia City and get your water from the Marlette-Hobart system, it's frightening when you drive that line. There are sections that are exposed that we literally have to keep water running through it in temperatures like this to keep it from freezing. We're working closely with Comstock Mining. They've been great, but we have some major issues throughout the line. Again, $3 million, you heard Paul talk. This is probably a drop in the bucket, but these are our priority issues that our engineers have addressed. We have 4 or 5 homes clustered in Washoe County that are high-pressure gap water line. Literally goes right behind their properties. We washed out some poor guy's landscaping and yard a year ago with a blowout. That apparently had a geyser that would rival Old Faithful at that point in time. So we're beginning to try to show attention to that. The 5 Mile Reservoir restoration. The 5 Mile Reservoir has not been in play for many, many years. We had some problems back there. I'm going to be looking at you, Scott, or you, Gary. I think we have 5 million plus gallons of capacity if we can get that reservoir to hold water again. And again, Comstock Mining has agreed to partner with us potentially with equipment and whatnot to save money there, but that's to restore a major source of water storage for us that we currently don't have. The Divide Reservoir is kind of a fun one, and if you haven't been back there, you ought to go. It used to be called years ago Lake Bacchus. It is behind the ice house and the public works concept. There is a reservoir there that leaks like a sieve. We drew it down. It had fish in it. The fish died because we couldn't keep water going into it. And that is hopefully a good estimate as to what it would take not only to restore it for water storage, but again, potentially, hopefully begin the process of maybe even turning it into a nice little community park or something, because it's a hidden asset when it's in its prime, and it hasn't been. Gallagher Clark, I probably would take exceptions. I will note that this is not this Gallagher on here. We're looking at acquiring four properties here in town that have nothing to do with our comptroller. This is my project, by the way. They are hopefully rock bottom priced, and that's a rough amount. We're still going through the appraisal process. And then we want to actually remove the homes that are on there. Why? Because we want more parking. So that's a pretty good estimate as to what it might cost. Could go up just a little bit. The Gallagher Clark renovations, the reason why that's so high is we've got four homes on there that are certainly asbestos ridden, have a historic component that we have to work with the Comstock Historic District, have all kinds of challenges. So we need to plan for, okay, we got this, now how far back do we cut into the hill? How do we pave it? You know, what kind of retaining wall do we need? Because go figure, everything in this town is built on a slope. So, you know, that's a rough estimate for that. And then the Eaton's renovation is one, again, we're in negotiations with to acquire a vacant lot. There actually has been an appraisal, Commissioner McCrott, and that's a fairly strong number in there at $100,000, and it would provide, again, more parking in a different part of town, but we are in negotiations. So those are the ones that have made the list. Relative to erosion control, I would suggest we're all ears for what needs to be done in erosion control. Give us a list, identify an area. If you've got specialists that you know, we're all ears. If it doesn't make this list this time, this list will probably, now that it's seated, and it's seated, you might note, with way more in projects than we have currently in money. We can constantly come back and take them off, move others on through the public process. So I hope I've given you at least more information, explanation why it appears this way at first.
I appreciate that. That's a very good information. And just for the record, when I'm up there and I'm asking to get information, I'm not asking it for me personally to receive it. It would be to attach it to the agenda as part of the packet so that everyone can see it. So I'm not asking for me first,
And I'll maintain when we have it, certainly. When we don't have it, then we've got to go through the verbal public process like this. So. Thank you for the time.
Okay, you bet.
I don't know if Bob has anything to chip in or not.
No,
good morning, Robert Morris for the record. I would just say that the state statutes require the public hearing, and it's been noticed, and I think there's been some good information out. I think the board has the ability to go forward if they want, but they also have the ability to continue it to a date certain. So if you do make a motion to continue this matter so Mr. Commissioner Gilman can participate, I had asked that you do it to a date certain, and that would be the January 7th.
I need to look at Mr. Gallagher here for just a minute. Given your recent conversation with taxation, I mean, continuing this to a date certain of January 7th with the holidays and everything that's going on, I'd ask, do you think we're on comfortable ground if we extend it or continue it to January 21st so that we can again get some more of the pieces of the puzzle together, possibly get information from Mr. Beach on erosion control? I know Commissioner Gilman has some items specifically that he's very interested in that hasn't made our historic cut list. We're going through eligibility of those right now and beginning to get preliminary costs. That's why Vince is here today. So I would suggest we carry it one month plus to January 21st, unless taxation is going to put us on some horrid watch list.
I don't mind that. I'd like to get the whatever Bob's done with the ordinance and whatever, I'd like to get that done. At least we get a first reading, so we have the second reading.
No, we can get a first reading. We can't get a second reading until
right.
The project list is finalized.
And maybe I can explain a little bit. There's the related item of the ordinance that follows this item. It could be introduced because it's basically to let people know what's in the ordinance. But the state law does require the actual project plan to be in that ordinance, and that's basically how it's controlled. And so if you do continue this to the 21st, we would have to do the second reading of the ordinance after the plan has been approved so that it could be inserted into the ordinance. So
that could be done on the 21st simultaneously, once the plan is approved.
Correct.
In whatever form. So the ordinance would be delayed by 2 weeks, essentially.
I'm fine.
I think that's just a more realistic process to get every project on the list, and unless you guys disagree, I mean, this is going to be up to vote, but I would recommend we continue it to January 21st.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Bob. Do you have anything else on it?
I would just stay here until the next item, if that's all right.
All right. So any other comments on that at the moment? We'll just entertain, I guess, a motion to continue.
Sure, Mr. Chairman. Move to continue action on this, on the Story County Infrastructure Tax to the second meeting in January.
21st
of January.
All right, I'll second that, and all in favor on that.
Aye.
Okay. We've got that. And, okay, item 13 is, shall the Board of County Commissioners be increased to 5 members? And,
No, I believe we've got...
Where am I? On number 11 still.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When Mr. Gallagher asked me to assist in this, one of the things that I did was found some code that had basically been adopted back in 1976, I believe. And so there are a lot of areas in the code where state statute had been amended to change it. One of the requirements of these relief tax on sales is that you comply with state law. So one of the things that this ordinance does is it tries to bring all the code in Chapter 3.12 up to what's current in the NRS. There are some other issues that I think I've explained in the staff summary. One is that when the tourism promotion tax was adopted, they didn't actually put the code, or they didn't put any numbering on the ordinance itself. So when the book publisher got the code, they've just put it in a separate chapter. My feeling is that since it's a sales tax, it should go in the Chapter 3.12, which is contains the other sales taxes. I think that helps clean up another section and puts all the sales taxes in a single place. And so I'd ask you to introduce this, and if you'd like, I could read the title for the record.
Okay.
Okay, discussion and possible action to approve the first reading of Ordinance 13-251, an ordinance amending Story County Code Chapter 3.12 to identify sale tax components, moving the tourist promotion tax from Chapter 3.56 to 3.12, to add a provision to update the purpose for the proceeds of the infrastructure tax and providing for other properly related matters.
And I want the record to be perfectly clear that as a result of any discussions between now and January 21st, when we would schedule a second reading for this in the infrastructure plan, since the infrastructure plan is embedded into this ordinance, that there will be changes between the first and second reading in that area specifically.
Correct.
I'd like to also, before you go back, make one other consideration that we may place on the agenda. I mean, it's clear from both the comments today, Commissioner Gilman and his team weighing in from Washington, D.C., you know, that there needs to be work on this to make sure this list is as current and as inclusive as we possibly can. So it would be my intent at this stage, just so everybody in this room knows, the media knows, I may propose, as long as legal staff says this, on our January 7th meeting, we may have a brief workshop just to discuss some of the added updates. Perhaps Mr. Beach has come back, you know, with some erosion control ideas that we can put our arms around, or anybody else out there, including obviously Mr. Gilman and the River District. So at this stage, I would intend to schedule a workshop as part of the commission meeting on the 7th, and then specifically, again, with that remark that this ordinance will change between first and second readings, and that the second reading won't occur until January 21st.
Can we update this list on an as-needed basis so we don't have to wait till it expires?
That is absolutely true. That's a great question. And the answer is yes, and that's taxation's guidance to us. The key there, Marshall, is we need to be as good coming out as we can, at least out of the chute, because you do have to amend through the ordinance process. And amending through an ordinance, I wish the state law was different, but it isn't. We have no choice. You've got to have a first reading, a second reading, a publication, you know, all that stuff. So I would suggest we might be looking at updating this once a year, once every 18 months, and always keeping projects out on that list way ahead of time.
So, okay, so I guess we are ready to adopt the, acknowledge the first,
you'd move to approve the first reading.
Yeah. Mark, do you have a, let's get through this and we'll take a quickie.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Hang on, let's have one motion to get.
Let's get this motion and we'll go do it.
Is there any more discussion on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, Marshall.
Oh, I thought he was going to say something. Okay.
I was going to ask, you might just ask for another comment.
Yeah.
We've had it. We've had it.
Yeah, we've.
Oh, no, we haven't on this one.
Any public comment on this particular item? This is just the first reading.
No, we're not there yet.
We're not there yet. We're just,
okay, all right. Motion.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the first reading of Ordinance 13-251.
Okay, I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, 10-minute recess.
And should we make clear that the second reading will be on the meeting of January?
21st of January. Okay, second reading, 21st of January. Okay, let's take 10.